Take out your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 6 is where we'll start today. Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 13, we'll begin there. This morning, I want to preach on God's promises, the promises of God, and what they mean, and what they reveal about God. In Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "In hope of eternal life," and again, the word hope is different than the understanding today. Hope means assurance and confidence. It's for sure. It just hasn't happened yet. "In hope of eternal life, which God," now here, "that cannot lie." It doesn't say he did not lie. It uses a stronger word. It says he cannot lie. And if you cannot lie, he did not lie. He is not lying, and he will not lie ever. Because he cannot lie. The God who cannot lie makes promises. Promised before the world began, and hath in due times manifested his word, through preaching, the preaching of the word of God, which is committed unto me, the apostle Paul writing here, and specifically, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Oh, there's so much. Scripture is so rich, so much in every verse you can preach on. God's promises. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says here, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Stay faithful in serving the Lord. For he is faithful that promised." There's no promise he ever made that he could not do. And there's no promise he ever made that he would not do. And there's a difference between could and would. Could means are you able to? Would means are you willing to? So God is able to, and he's willing to fulfill every promise he ever made. That he is faithful, that promise. You can believe all God's promises because he's faithful. Now let's look at chapter 11, verse 11 also. Chapter 11, still in Hebrews, 11:11. "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him," God, "faithful who had promised." So she believed God. When God made a promise to her, she believed it. She believed God. She believes God's promises. Now, what I did is I just started thinking about God's promises and what they mean and how they're involved in our lives, faith, what they revealed about God. God's promises is what they mean because he is a covenant-making God. He is a promise-making God, and he does not have to make any of these promises. He did not have to make any of them, but he chose to. All right, number one, what's true about God's promises? They're a test of our faith, where we believe, have faith in what God promised. Romans 10:17, such a familiar verse there. "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Romans 10:17. But it's a test of our faith. Well, we believe God. People say, "Well, I believe God." Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe what he promised? A lot of times that'll puzzle some people because they say, "Well, what did he promise?" Well, he promised what's written in the Bible. If you believe God, will you believe his promises? What are some of his promises? Well, he promised to come back someday. You believe that? Do you believe that he will stand as judge someday at the great white throne judgment, and they'll be judged for their sins at that day, those that are not forgiven, those who are not Christians? Do you believe they'll stand before Jesus Christ someday and give account of their sins, and God will judge them? He said he would. One of his promises, and this is the most wonderful one probably of all, is that he promised that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to heaven someday and be with him forever. You know, there's people that call themselves Christians that say, "Well, I don't know if I'm going to heaven for sure or not." But you're a Christian? "Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not sure if I'm going to go to heaven or not." Well, that's his promises. How can you separate God, believing in God, from believing in God's promises? How can you separate the Lord Jesus Christ and say you believe on him, but you don't believe his promises? And one of his greatest promises is you will go to heaven someday. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Saved. It's a test of faith. Number two is his promises are always true. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In fact, there was one of the people in our church just this morning was saying that the ones that are against God out there in the world, and it seems like they've lost their idea of sense. They're not thinking reasonably and logically. They're just thinking the wrong way. Well, why are they doing that? Because they've turned from the truth. When you turn from the truth, there's only one way direction to go, and it's the opposite of truth. So sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want to know the truth about everything, look to the word of God. God's promises are always good things. They're righteous things, and they're absolute truth. Always good. Number three. Oh, I like this one, number three. His promises are written out. We don't have to trust our memory. We still have them written out today. I think this is such an important thing. Let's turn to Revelation chapter number one, last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1. They're written out. It's like evidence in a courtroom. If somebody is debating whether they've hired someone on to do a job, to do something around their house or whatever, if they have a written contract, boy, they can win the case for sure if they have a written contract. If it's just a verbal agreement, then one person can say, well, he agreed to this, and the other person can say, no, I did not agree to do that, and there's no written contract, then one man's word is as good as another man's word, isn't it? Then they can debate back and forth and disagree, and the judge really would have to have a hard time deciding who's right and who's wrong. But if there's a written contract out, that gives great evidence as to who's telling the truth and who's lying. This is our written contract. Let's look in Revelation chapter 1, beginning verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, things that are going to happen, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Now he saw them with his eyes. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand, written. The promises of God are written down. You can pick them up and read them anytime you want. This is God's contract, so to speak. He has signed this contract. This is the written record of God's word, the written record. Look at also here. We're still in the book of Revelation now, and still in chapter 1, verse 19, where God says, the Lord says here to the apostle John in verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen. Don't just trust what you've seen, but write them down. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Then it continues on with the discourse there. But that first word in verse 19 is so important. You have to have faith and believe God's promises because they are in written form. They're written down. The whole Bible is a book of God's promises. And that's the evidence that God is going to fulfill those promises. Don't just trust what your memory tells you. Don't just trust the things you've even seen. Look for the written form of God's promises. His promises are written out. What a blessing that is. Another thing, his promises are the basis for fellowship with him. It's like when a wedding takes place, there's a covenant to start this new relationship. Now they're not just one man and one woman. Now there's a man and a woman who are going to be husband and wife. People say their vows, but it begins a new relationship. Friends, this Bible shows us how to have a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ we never had before. These promises of God say, if you'll do this, and God says, I will do that. And a new relationship begins. You know, when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith, they're born again. That's a new relationship you never had before. God Himself lives inside, dwells inside every Christian, every believer. Everyone has the living God inside of them. That's a new relationship you never had before. Before that, there was only you. There's only the old nature. But when you got saved, now you have this new relationship with God. He lives inside of you. This is a new relationship you never had before. When a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a new relationship you never had before. That's a promise of God. It's a basis for fellowship with God. Another thing about God's promises, they're to be enjoyed and anticipated. So many times when preachers preach the Word of God, they need to preach it with a joy in their heart and joy on their lips and a smile on their face, because it's an exciting thing to know God. It's an exciting thing to believe His promises. Turn to Psalm chapter 119. I'll tell you, it's great being saved. It's a joy. I'm anticipating heaven. And Christian, you are too, aren't you? Sometimes we think about what heaven's going to be like. I don't know. The Bible talks about it. It just says it can be greater beyond whatever we could imagine. Anything we can imagine, it's going to be so great to be in heaven someday. Now, by the way, Christian, don't get your sight so much on heaven that you're not doing serving the Lord in this world. God needs us here. We have a work He wants us to do here. We need to be good witnesses. But you know that forward glimpse of thinking about heaven someday, what a joy it brings in my heart. To know I know God. I'm going to heaven someday. My sins are forgiven. And Jesus Christ not only likes me, He loves me. He loves me. What a wonderful joy that is. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thinking about it constantly, as David says here. Oh, how I love thy law. I enjoy being saved. I enjoy knowing I'm going to heaven someday. What a joy it puts in my heart. I anticipate where I'll be someday. I'm promised a home in heaven. I anticipate that. I look forward to, in other words, here's faith. Looking forward to the promises of God and also enjoying the promises of God even right now already. Oh, how I love thy law. It's a source of love for me, the Word of God, the law of God. Same chapter, Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, how about verse 111, same chapter? It says, thy testimonies have I taken as inheritance forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. It brings a joy to me to be in the Word of God, to learn it, to read it, to hear it preached and taught, the Word of God. Thy testimonies have I taken as inheritance, yeah, my heritage, forever. That's a long time, forever, isn't it? That's a long time. There's no retirement from forever. The Word of God makes me happy. Reading the Bible makes me happy. Learning more about God's Word just makes me happy. Brings a joy in my life. You know what the world needs? They need this kind of joy and happiness. They're looking in all the wrong places, and they sure are, aren't they? They need to get to the written promises of the Word of God. If they want to have joy, and they want to have rejoicing, and they want to have confidence about the future, here it is. It's in God's promises. They're rejoicing. In my heart. What a joy to look forward to the promises. It's almost as if they have already come true sometimes, to a degree. Yeah, to enjoy it. Christian, get happy about these things. Enjoy these things. All right, that's been some good positive things. Now let's look at it a little different direction now. My next point here in the outline, number 6. Satan looks at God's promises and tries to get people to disbelieve them. How can you do that? Well, he's got some things to attract us, and he's got certain things to appeal to. He's got our old natures to appeal to. He's got sinful things and sinful ways that he can use to appeal. For a lot of people, sad to say, I wish people change their mind, but who's in back of all this untruth going around? Who's in back of all these negative things, all these wrong things? Who's in back of all these troubles in this world? Who's in back of all the heartaches in the world? It's not God. Every good gift comes down from who? The Father of lights. The Father of lights. Satan's not that way. He tries to get people to disbelieve the Word of God. And the Word of God are His promises. So we can also say, Satan tries to get people to disbelieve the promises of God. Yea, hath God said? Who said that? Satan did. To whom did he say it? Eve. Did she believe it? Yeah. Yeah, she did. As life went on, and hopefully she changed, I don't know, but anyways, but she believed it. But that's what Satan's up to. He tries to destroy the joy in God's promises. He tries to destroy the truthfulness in all of God's promises. He tries to destroy everything he can there because he knows that God is right and God is true and God is cannot lie. Satan knows all that, and he still fights God. That's how foolish he is. Now, he tries to get people to disbelieve the Word of God. He tries to get people to disbelieve the Word of God, the Bible itself, by saying, well, there's errors and there's mistakes in the Word of God, that God might have inspired the originals, but he hasn't preserved the Word of God. How can you still believe this book? It's hundreds, even thousands of years old already. How can you still believe it's still perfect and every word is just right? How can you still believe that? That just doesn't make sense. It might not make sense to some people, but Satan knows he is lying about it because God says he inspired the original and he preserved it over the centuries. Also, every word in this Bible is absolutely true. There can't be mistakes in it. Why? Because God has promised. The God who cannot lie has made that promise about not just inspiration, but preservation of His Word. Don't ever doubt the Word of God. There's so many people that they don't believe the Word of God, or they believe certain parts of it and not other parts of it. You've probably had people say, well, that's an old book. You know, we hear that all the time. But who's in back of all those lies? Satan is. Now, does he have something that he can appeal to in us? Yeah. The old nature, the nature that loves sin and enjoys sinful things, he appeals to that. He appeals to the humility that is needed if a person's going to get saved, because they have to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to humble themselves before Him. And it's not easy to confess your sins and repent of your sins and start to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's salvation. And that's not easy to do. Our old natures fight that. That's why we have to conquer and go against what our old nature is saying and believe in the Lord. But who's in back of all those lies? The father of lies, Satan. Now, we've got our old nature. You can't always blame Satan either. But that's the negative thing about God's promises. There's someone out there, and there's someone even inside of our own hearts, something even in our own hearts, that fights that. They fight the promises of God. All those wonderful promises. What's another thought here? God's promises also show us His heart. It shows what He's really like by the promises that He makes. He doesn't have to make these promises. He doesn't have to initiate a relationship with us, but He does. Why? Because He's giving, and because He's a generous God, and because He enjoys showing mercy, and He enjoys forgiving people, and He would much rather be your Savior than your judge. That's why. And all these promises He gives us, such wonderful promises through the Word of God about heaven someday and the protection in this life right here now and all the blessings, even this side of heaven, all these wonderful things that God has given us, it shows who God really is. Amen. Everybody has different backgrounds growing up with their families, and you might have had a good family where people, your parents cared for you, and even brothers and sisters care about each other. Or maybe you've had a rough family. Maybe there hasn't been that kind of love in the family that there are in some other families. But I can tell you this, God loves you. He cares about you. He wants you to turn to Him, but He cares about you. That's why He made these promises. All these promises of God show us God's heart. God's heart initiates this relationship with us. It shows he's generous and giving and loving and long-suffering. How long have I stretched out my arm to a gainsaying people? People are saying no to me, and yet God still reached out to them, reached out to them, reached out to them. The patience that he has. You don't have a better friend or relative in this life that loves you more than God does. No one does. That's how much God loves you. Wow, when you see these promises here, what wonderful promises. In the Old Testament, mainly to Israel, most of the time to Israel, but New Testament to everybody, Israel and the Gentiles and everyone, to come to him. What a God. Amen. And then the last thought this morning, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. You can die with this promise. It's something you can die with. You know, you're getting older. Everyone's getting older, aren't they? Everyone is. And you get closer and closer to that time when you're going to leave this world. It's something you can die with. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written. There's that word written again. A written contract, written promises. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know what verses 11 and 12 and 13 are saying? You can die with this promise. When the time comes when your life is over, you have his promise about what's going to happen after that. You have his promises here. It's a promise and a faith you can die with because you know what happens the other side. Promises of God, it's really a test of faith. Will you believe his promises? Will you believe about prophecy, his promises about prophecy? Will you believe his promises about what has not happened yet? Will you believe those promises? Will you believe all the promises in this written record that God has given us? Believe what the Bible says. When anybody's interested in salvation, they're starting to show concern or interested in it, and they really don't know much about it, my advice always is read the Word of God. The promises of God, do you believe them today? Do you sincerely believe them? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the promises that you made. Thank you, Lord, we can rest our eternal souls on what this book says because you promised that this book is perfect. Your promises are here. We can learn about you. We can learn about what you have to offer. And we can learn what a wonderful God you are. Lord, if there's people here this morning, I'm sure there are some that are not yet really born again, we pray for them. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will make that real to them, that they'll understand it. And maybe even this morning, walk the aisle and bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and call out to him to be their Lord and Savior. So we pray. And then for those who are Christians this morning, Lord, I pray we'll appreciate your promises more. And we'll internalize them and believe them more than maybe we ever have before. So thank you for your promises. A God who cannot lie has promised so many wonderful things that we can believe. So Lord, bless the invitation time now. May people see it as an opportunity to pray about these matters and use this for a personal time between them and you as we sing this song and offer this time for them to come forward and pray about matters. For it is in Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen.